Blog Talk Radio.
Love that song, and every time I hear it, sometimes I get into my spirit, and just for a second, I forget that we have a show to do. But good evening, podcast audience. This is something about I Need You to Survive, and it's funny. I've always liked this song, but now the part when the singer says neighbor, it just has a whole different meaning to me. But again, that's just me feeling like I feel. Good evening, and welcome to Highs to Highs podcast on this Sunday evening as we bring to you a dynamic word from a very enlightened brother. We have our very own messenger. Again, he constantly reminds us that we're all messengers, but we give him that title, messenger, and I want to introduce to some and again present to others none other than our very own messenger, Rondaya. Good evening, my brother.
Good evening, my brother, and good evening to all that are here tonight. Once again, it is a blessing that brothers and sisters, the saints, can come together and discuss and better understand God's plan. Not only his plan, but our plan, the plan that we are to do, because there is a reason why we're here, and we're here to discuss so that we can have life and have life more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. We have a caller with us tonight also. Is that our brother from overseas?
Yes, sir. How are you, everyone?
Good
Hello.
Evening. Good evening. It is always a pleasure to have you a part of our podcast. Our podcast tonight, we're talking about the beautiful and the awesomeness of the Creator, and we propose the question, or the statement, or the challenge. The reason we are here. The reason we are here is what the messenger is going to speak with us about this evening.
Absolutely, well, and thank you very much for having me to be part of your show, also to be part of your family.
Amen.
Bless you, my brother. If you were on just 2 minutes earlier, you would have heard a very beautiful song that sung that let us know that we are all part of the same body.
Exactly.
Once again, because we get so hung up on our physical looks and features and stuff, we have this tendency to believe that that is who we really are. But we have to come to that understanding that this body, this shell, is just a housing for who it is that you really are. And who you really are a part of God. And because we have our mind and our soul also, that makes us different, but it still makes us the same. And we have to begin to understand that and come into the knowledge of who it is that we really are and stop looking at people because of their, for lack
race,
of a better
color,
word,
religion.
Race, yes,
color,
that's what
race,
I was going to say, because of their race, creed, religion. Because what we have to understand is that religion that they have is just their vice for hope, because they have not had the opportunity to go within and get in contact with the spirit that dwells within them. And once they're able to get inside and understand that God dwells in them as well as everyone else, then we can begin to shape this world, to make this world a much better place. You know, one of the sayings that Jesus said when he was here on earth was, heaven and hell is right here on earth. And what we have to understand, what he meant by that is, it's just a state of mind. There is no physical place. God is not creating a hell to put himself in. And once we begin to understand that we are part of God, there is no other way that we can exist unless we're part of the body. Every living thing that has life is a part of God. And we have to come to understand that. And one of the reason why we have a hard time believing that is because we truly don't know just how magnificent, how awesome God truly is. And because our minds, which give us the ability to recall certain things, because we only use it, we only use it to such a limited capacity of what it's capable of doing, it's hard for us to conceive just who it is that we really are. Jesus also said that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now, what we can do is we can hear that and think that what he means is a good gift, God up in disguise is bringing it to you. But if you stop and use the senses in which God gave you, then you would realize that that good and perfect gift came from you. You gave that to someone. But what you have to understand is you gave it to someone, but it is the God within you that gave it to him. It's the God that's within you that when you see someone in need, have a hunger inside to do something to help them. That's the God in you. That is your soul, which is part of God, that is speaking to you. The unfortunate part is a lot of times we won't listen to our soul. We rather listen to our mind and the limited remembrance that we have. That's what we choose to live off of or to guide, be directed by, is what we can remember. And we don't choose to remember the very beginning. We choose to remember only what we can remember from this life. And we have to understand, and this is really deep, and it's important for us to understand that this isn't our first time here. We've been doing this for a long time. And truth of the matter is, there is nothing else for us to do. This is the game called life. And the game called life is for us to be here to experience life, so that God, through us, can experience just how magnificent he is. But we've got it to the point where we think only thing God wants is for us to sit around and praise him all the time. And technically, that's not true. Because you are a part of God, he does not need your praise. God is not a king. God is not the president. God is not a congressman or something where he's so shallow that you've got to walk around and just keep giving him the praise. God does not need that. Because whether you praise God or not, he's still God. And this is what we have to understand. We can't continue to just constantly think that in one breath we can say just how great God is and then turn right back around and say just how shallow God is. We've got to start understanding. And before, the only way we can truly understand is if we go within ourselves. Not listening to anything that I have said or that any of these imams, preachers, priests, rabbis have said, but what God has said to you. And I've said this numerous times. If we stop from our busy day, which we're running around doing absolutely nothing technically, and get it, because anything that we're doing during the course of the day is it as important as coming to know who you really are? And you can't know who you really are until you go within and begin to have a conversation. Now, you know, it may seem like you're having a conversation with yourself, but technically you really are. You are having a conversation with yourself because of who you really are. And the real you will talk to you. We all have experienced these times in our lives where we stop for a moment to just meditate or just to talk to ourselves. And an answer came back to us. Now, whether we chose to listen to that answer is a different thing. But we did get an answer. It's because God is in there just waiting. Just all you got to do is call on him. And you may say, my brother, that just sounds too easy. And that's just how easy it is. It's just we make it hard because we have been taught that we've got to go through all these different rituals and all of these different sayings and walk this way or talk that way in order to have communion with God. And we have to understand that God has no limitation on when you can talk to him and when you can't talk to him. God is not mad at you, so he won't answer you. But what you have to do is you've got to tune yourself into the Spirit so that when he's talking to you, you can hear him. The sister T, gave us a beautiful illustration of how God works. And he's working like that in each and every one of our lives. It's just that at times we allow the things of this world to totally clog the mind that we can't truly see God at work. There was a saying that was written in one of the books that said, be in the world, but not of the world. We can live in this world, but we don't need for this world to rule us and to guide us because of the Spirit that dwells within us. That Spirit that dwells within us will teach us right from wrong. And it will also bring back to your remembrance all things, not some things, but all things. We have all experienced somewhere along the line where we've been talking and some things came out and you don't even know where it came from. As that show Family Matter, I think it was Family Matter with Urkel, and he would say, did I do that? And what we have to understand is that's the same with us if we would allow ourselves to be obedient to the Spirit. And it is nothing for us to be afraid of. We're afraid that if we get too connected to the spirit, we're not going to be able to live life the way we'd like. And that's just a fallacy. Your life is for you to live it however it is you choose. And that's free will. That's the true definition of free will. Free will is each and every one of you had a choice whether or not you wanted to be on this podcast today. That was free will. Nobody twisted anybody's arm to be here tonight. So you used your free will to be here, and you used your free will to do just about any and everything that you want.
Hey, Brother Messenger.
Yes.
I have a question. Give me one second. God be the I'm sorry, my brother. My question is, if people understood how awesome and how powerful the Creator really is, again, it would just be, I can't sometimes describe it in words on how much better, how much simpler, if that's a word right at the moment, our lives would be if we understood most of the things that we think we got to have are really not necessary when you commune with the Creator. Being comfortable becomes somewhat good enough. Now, and that doesn't mean that if you like lavish things and you work, then you should have lavish things. But I think that if we connected with the Creator, our lavish things would only be a need we need to satisfy after we're kind of certain most people are doing okay. I believe that's the kind of love, and that's the kind of guidance that you're going to get when you connect with the Creator. A lot of people say, for example, you know, our title of our show tonight, the reason we are here, there are a lot, I mean, I do say a lot, of people believe we are here to constantly praise the Creator. I mean, that's our purpose in existence, is that we just praise 24 hours a day, if possible. You know, they have great writers, Brother Martin Luther, who converted from Catholicism to what he called the Christianity. But one of his great claims to fame was that he prayed 22 hours a day. And I wanted to draw that out only to say, I find that like where I used to be amazed with that. Now, instead of living his life and allowing the Creator to experience life through him, he robbed the Creator. He not robbed him, because again, if the Creator had wanted him to move, he would have moved. But instead of living or enjoying his best life, he spent his whole life praising a God who did not need or still don't need his praise. And I just can't understand why people fall into that if I don't praise him all the time, then I'm not worthy to be in his sight.
Well, partly because, see, now that's kind of tricky, because it's not necessary to praise, but it is important to give thanks. And one of the things that we have, because we're constantly molding God to be what it is that we think he is, even though there are writings that let you know that God's ways is not like our ways, we still try to mold and shape God in the image in our image, instead of us realizing that we are in his image. And because of this, they have brought up this fear factor, which has us so afraid that if I don't praise him, then what's going to happen to me is I'm going to be thrown into a fiery pit. And it's just ludicrous. And as we get older in age and wiser, we should know that it is. But because it's been instilled in us for so long, we can't shake it. And even to this day, as these here on the podcast listen to this, we still have some of that teaching within us, and this holds us back at certain times because we're holding on to past beliefs that technically no longer work for us. They no longer work for us because, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say, because that old God does not truly exist. And there is a God that is within each, and he's been inside each and every one of us. If God withdrew himself from any one of us, we would be no more. And as I've stated many times, I'm no scholar. I'm not the most educated person in the world, but I do know that if God removes the breath of life from us, we are dead. And if he gives us the breath of life, we live. So
amen.
When I start to add things up, then I've got to decide, who am I really?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I
really? So is that possible? Sir, is it possible to say that I am God, you are God, God, as long as we know these three magic words, and then we treat each other much, much, much better than right now? Is that possible?
Well, yes, that's the key to the whole thing, my brother. That's the key. What happens is when we say that, people look at us and think that we think that we're, according to their beliefs, we're blaspheming and stuff against God and stuff. But what we're doing is understanding who we are. And when we say that we are God, God is everything. Okay?
Amen.
And so when I say we are God, I could just be the toe. And you could be the pinky. And the other person could be the ear. And I'm just using the anatomy of a human just to describe how we are part of the body.
Yeah, we are part of the body, right.
That's
exactly
right. And there
Amen.
Is no greater part than the other. The pinky is just as valuable as the thumb is.
Right.
Or the ear. And so when we come to understand that, then I won't look at you crazy because I know that
exactly.
you are a part of me.
That's right.
Right.
And knowing that you
right.
are
then,
a part of me. Go
and ahead, also, the earth is but one country. All mankind are its citizens. And if I go right now to Rose Garden in Victoria, if I see only, say, blue color, roses, I watch it maybe 30 minutes, then I go. But then they have a rose garden that is red, blue, white, and all the colors. Then it
That's
looks
right.
nice. So we are the children of this planet, and with different color and different skin tone, whatever it is. But that's what it is. It's like a rose garden of the planet.
Amen. Amen.
Oh,
nicely
well,
put.
Well, and I'll tell you this as well. There is this thing where we like to say you can't judge a book by its cover. But this
mm-hmm.
is something in which we've done most of our lives. And so this is why it's hard for us to conceive the notion that we are all one, because we're looking at the cover of a person and not looking at the soul of a person. Because the soul, I'll just keep saying this to you, the soul is who we are, not this body. This body is just a housing for the soul to reside in.
Exactly.
And this is why when the soul has had enough of an experience here on earth, this is why once the soul has decided enough is enough, no doctor, nobody can stop it. Death comes because the soul is now ready to go back to be with the spirit
mm-hmm.
of God.
Exactly. Amen. Right.
Uh-huh.
But we can't shake loose this when I look in the mirror, this pretty young man that I see is who I am. Or this pretty young lady that you see when you look in the mirror. It's who you are. It's just a part of you. But it is not who you truly are. And it's hard for us to accept that because we think we are who we look like. But we've got to understand it's more than just this flesh. If we listen to the writings, this flesh was made from dirt. He used the dirt in the ground to form this body. And this body was absolutely no good because it was lifeless until he blew his breath into it. And that's what gave it life, because God is life. And so this is where we've got to begin through, as Brother Paul said, we've got to learn how to renew our minds from this old way of thinking that we are some filthy rags and we're unfit and we were born in the sin and we're going to die. It is not so. You have to understand that this fear factor that they've given us called sin, it does not exist. It is an extra burden that we're placing on ourselves. What we have to understand that there are certain consequences for the actions that we take, but those consequences aren't the devil lined up somewhere punishing you for something that you've done. I use this analogy. If you stub your toe, you can't blame the devil because you stub your toe. Because your toe is hurting like crazy now, you can't blame the devil. You've got to understand, you hit your toe on something that was harder than your toe, and now you've got to deal with the consequences of not paying attention to where you walk. It's just that simple.
And if I would for a moment, I know when you say the devil, we know that to be different from the audience hearing it. But I just proposed a question, or I would like to propose the question. If we truly, truly, truly understand, and this is, again, part of the reason we are here. If you truly think that the Creator would allow, or he would have to create an adversary and give him the exact same power as he has. I mean, just from any point of view you want to, that just doesn't make sense. So when we start talking about this devil character, I guess it makes it easy for people to delineate between what they consider good and what they consider bad. But part of the reason we're here is not to believe in the devil, folks. Because if you think that, so in other words, our God, who was the creator of all, the grand architect of this universe, thought that to keep his skill set sharp, he had to create an adversary and give him the same amount of power. No, I had to go into that little spiel when I heard you say devil. That was just so different. You know, sometimes people say things and I'm just not hearing you talk about a devil. But if you believe that there's a devil, folks, come on. If you believe in God and you believe that your God or my God is all powerful. And let me tell you something that I believe. Now, that's 100 with me. If my God is all powerful and I know he loves me and he is a part of me, what should I ever fear? I mean, what? Somebody tell me. What, I mean, it's impossible. Again, it don't pass the common sense test. I have everything. How could I want for anything?
Amen.
I mean, if you believe. Now, again, if you are a true believer of whatever religion you believe in, and again, I'm not going to name them out, but if you just stop. And again, this is what I consider just a universal principle. If you stop and think about whatever God it is that you serve, if he is all powerful, if it is all powerful, if they are all powerful and you are teamed with them, how could you worry about anything? But that just came to mind, and I had to share that again as we continue to talk about the reason we are here. Again, the reason we are here. If that question was asked to me, I mean, I now understand, or I now believe the reason we're here is just to show love, and again, to be interdependent with each other, so that we understand that we are one and one is all. And if we understand and cohabitate like that, that this could be a beautiful world.
Yes, indeed. One of the things, one thing, what we have to understand why we are here. Just hold on for a second. I'm going to explain something to everyone. What we have to understand is in the beginning, there was absolutely nothing. There was nothing but God. So with there being nothing but God, how could God be God? If there's nothing but him, how can he be God? Okay, he knows who he is, but how can he be who he is, because there is nothing for him to be? So in order for God to be able to experience the magnificence of who he is, in order for God to be able to experientially experience and understand everything, he had to be able to experience it. And so this is how he experiences being God, and that's through each and every one of us, because he is a part of us, and this is his experience. And this is why, whether we want to believe it or not, there is nothing that we cannot do, because who it is that resides in us. You can do all things. All you have to do is have a made-up mind and understand who it is that you are, and you can do it. If you can see it, you can. If you can see it, you can achieve it. So it's important for us to understand that in the God sense, that this is why we can say with boldness that we are a part of God. And our mission here is to create, because that's what we are, creators, because we are part of the Creator, is to create the best life that we can right here. Experience the magnificence of God here on earth in a human form. Because when we really, 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 really start getting into the God factor, then we'll understand that there are different realms in this universe. And in this realm right here, this is the physical realm. And this is the realm that we live in, the physical realm. So God is experiencing himself in the physical realm with each and every one of us. And as a saying goes, train up the child in the way in which you'd have it to go. Unfortunately, we've been trained up in the wrong way. We are supposed to train up ourselves and then our offsprings into the knowledge of who they are, and then their job is to create the best life for them. It's not even your concern any longer. If you give them the basics, then it is their responsibility to go out and create the best life for them and you for you. But now if we do this, and we do this using the spirit that dwells within us, what will happen is it will all connect. But we've gotten it all wrong. We've gotten where the people of age who have so much more wisdom What do? We put them in a home. They're no longer valuable to us. So they have the most wisdom, but they're no longer valuable to us. So once again, we've got it all twisted. We're raising the family. We have to understand that there is a process that's been established, but we have allowed that process to be changed because of modern society. When you're 20 years old, how can you truly, truly raise a child? Now, we all in our minds say, well, I did a pretty good job here or there. But if you really, really, really stop and think about it, you did a pretty good job. But you did that pretty good job because if you were so lucky, you had grandparents. You had parents that helped you along the way. And that's how it is supposed to be. We've separated ourselves. We move out to isolated lands, getting away from it. We separated ourselves when we were all just one. But we're too busy trying to get away from everyone when we should be trying to come together. But we can't come together because we've got that mentality of survival of the fittest, only the strong survive. I gotta take care of this for me, and I don't care about anyone else. You take care of what's for you, but for you not to care about your brother, man, means that you don't care about yourself.
Absolutely. Zoroastra is an ancient religion. Zoroastra said, doing good to others is not a duty. It is a joy. For the increase your own health and happiness, Zoroastra. And also he says, turn yourself not away from three best things, good thought, good word, and good deed.
Okay.
It's the basics of life. It's just that simple.
But unfortunately, it's very hard. People need to be open-minded and
right.
to seek and listen to the all highest ideas. But unfortunately, in the United States of America, people are not open-minded enough to seek and listen to the different solutions. I mean, for example, in the United States, as you know, they give a health care to everybody. Millions of people don't have a health care. Now they want to take it away, and people say, yeah, go ahead, take it away. We don't want the health care. I don't understand it, the logic behind it.
Because sometimes people are so uninformed or so intentionally misdirected to the point in life where they think that they don't need to be informed. But you see, if we as a nation, and you know something, even more so, those who are sought out by the public and elected and put in positions that they're supposed to speak for them, I mean, you have to understand, if your nature is truly to do good, then you are in a nice position to do that. You're in a very powerful position to do that, if that is your nature, if that is what you're there for. But when I talk about the goodness of God, it's going to take a while. Excuse me, I don't know how God's going to move, but just from my thought process and, from my everyday walk of life, it's going to take a while before God's love really, really manifests, because right now this nation is so full of evil that if I'm showing you God's love, it's going to be hard for you to accept it, because I have to get through layers of hate, layers of evil thoughts that you have. So, when God loves first taps you on the shoulder, the person that's there with the tap, I mean, it might be a bad situation, and all you're doing is trying to spread God's love. And when I say bad, let me rephrase that, because nothing from the Creator is bad. It might be a physical situation, and all you're trying to do is spread God's love. So my point is, right now, this nation, I think, is so filled with hatred, for whatever reason.
That's right.
I'm talking about on so many different levels, that for God to break through. And again, he gives us free will, so he's not going to force anything on you. But I think the sooner more people understand that we are here to be caretakers, caregivers to each other, when we get more the majority on board thinking like that, then it's going to be easy for the rest of the world to see this is what it is. It's just about us taking care of us. That's all I see.
Absolutely. You know, especially, you know, we cannot bring a world peace until we united, we have, you know, everything that already we have, free healthcare, you know, education, be more better than now, etc., and automatically everybody's life better in America. And so then world peace may come. People look at America as a symbol that, look at it, they are coming from all over the world, and now they get along with each other. No more mass shooting. There is no killings in the streets, etc. Then we have a voice for the world peace. Otherwise, world peace will not come soon.
Well, my brother co-producer, you said God's plan. God's plan is for each and every one of us on this podcast tonight to be able to let our light so shine so that they can see the good work that you do and glorify the God that is within them. And yes, but one of the things we have to understand when we say we don't know when, we've got to understand with God, there is no time. We've got the time, but God has got, as they would say, all day.
Absolutely.
He can't lose. Mm. So it's imperative, or it would behoove us, for us to get it right and to understand, so that as a great prophet Jesus said, so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Now, sometimes what happens is because we get this big car or this big house on the hill and we got money in our pockets, we think that we've got life and we've got it more abundantly. But I come to tell you that that is not so. There are rich millionaires that are killing themselves because they are not happy.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely that unspeakable joy that is within you, knowing that you are being the best that you can be. And the only way you can be the best that you can be is if you go within and speak with the God that's in you, and you allow him, or that allow the spirit to direct your path. Because you can't do it using your intellect, because your intellect is just telling you about experiences that you have experienced while you were here on this earth. But when you allow your soul to speak to you, your soul can speak to you from the beginning. Because the soul was there. It knows about the beginning.
Is that possible? Consciousness. Is the soul that you are referring to? Please.
Yes, sir.
Is that the consciousness?
And I've said this many times. What we are doing is we're walking around here unconscious.
Exactly.
And it's time for us to come to the conscious knowledge of what it is that we do, say, and are.
Talk to him, brother.
Right.
Talk to him,
subconsciously,
brother.
We do a lot of things that we don't even realize we're doing. And I use for an example, you've heard the story of subconsciously when the mother saw the child underneath the car, subconsciously she just went and lift that car right up and got her baby from underneath there. She did it subconsciously. But we have the power to do it all consciously if we would just wake up. If we would stop thinking that this person is so much better and different than everybody else. And we have to understand this. And until we all come to the knowledge that nobody is better than anyone.
Exactly.
Just
we are all equal under eyes of God. And since
we are
God,
we are
so there is no difference between us.
That's correct.
Exactly.
And this is what we have to understand. Just because you're a great singer does not make you better than me. And I can't hit a note, but that doesn't make you makes you a better singer than me. But in no ways does it make you better than me. You're a businessman.
Absolutely.
It makes you a better businessman, but it doesn't make you better than me. But we've got this idea that the more money I have, the finer things that I have, that makes me better or more blessed. But what we have to understand is there are some people that don't want no big, doesn't want a big house. Does that mean that they're not blessed because they didn't get the big house? They don't want it. And when you truly come to know who you are, you will have it. But it's not because it's something that you want. It's just there for you because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all of this belongs to us, but we're too busy fighting over it as if it's not enough. And we have to understand that there is enough of everything for everyone. And
talk
when
to
we
him,
can
brother.
Understand that, then we'll stop trying to hurt or beat the other person out of something when we can have it. I don't have to steal your money. There's enough money that I can get money if I need money. There's enough love that if I need love, I don't have to steal anybody's love.
That's right.
Because there is enough of it. But we think that there is only a little bit. And we think we got to grab it all for ourselves. And we've got to understand that there is enough of everything for everyone. As a co-producer have said on numerous occasions, it makes absolutely no sense for somebody to be walking around here being worth $200 billion. They could never spend it. Their grandkids could never spend it in a lifetime. But they just want to hoard it up because survival of the fittest. Only
but I have a question. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Yeah, my question that I would put to everyone this evening would be, if you have that kind of money, do you think, I mean, after being exposed to the goodness of the message, after being introduced to the fact that we are God, God is a part of us, and I like to explain that to people because I don't want you to think that we're something other than what we really are. And all we are as a ministry or as a body of people, we're willing to spread the word to let folks know that you don't have to go anywhere looking for God because he's in you. You can't go and get something that you already have unless that's just something you choose to do. Now, if that gives you satisfaction, then go right ahead. But know that when I go to church, God is only in church because I'm in church. So, again, one of the reasons we're here, we're here because we are purposefully designed so that we can enjoy life, what you consider good, what you consider bad, so that the Creator experiences everything, everything. And I know it sounds crazy, and let me tell you, what we consider bad by standards of today's society, I'm not asking anyone to embark on that type of life, but apparently a lot of people do. So, again, that's just another experience the Creator has experienced. And I know it might sound revolutionary, crazy, if you're not used to hearing that. But you got to understand, living for God is so easy because all you have to do is just live. Whatever it is that you think is going to make you a better you, whatever that might be, then that's what you do because that's what you're going to do. So whatever have you your mind set on, whatever it is, whatever has your mind set on whatever it is that you love to do, all I can say is go do it. And I don't really want to sound irresponsible.
So, brother, so basically saying happiness comes to them who brings happiness to others.
Exactly. Exactly, brother. And that was very well summarized. And again, because something that we, just because I don't see it as a happiness, somebody does. Now, again,
right.
If I had to judge it, I might judge it real foul based on my today's understanding. But again, we are here just to do that. Live the best, our best lives. So our Creator is experiencing a life through us as we go from day to day. But always remember, if the Creator blew life in you, and if He takes that life from you, you do the rest of that riddle and tell me not only who you are, but whose you are.
All right now.
Amen.
So I say, let's go out, and as I stated earlier, we've got to live this thing, talk about it. You got to be about it. And you might say, well, I'm just one person, but one person can get another person, and another can get another person. But we can do this. We just have to have a made up mind that this is who we are. And this is, and I'm going to be who I am and not who you want me to be. And that's what our problem is. We're too busy trying to please other people. And because we're trying to please other people, nobody's happy. Because this isn't what I really wanted to do, but I got to do this in order to make you happy. I've got to be happy. And when I'm happy, I can make other people happy.
Amen.
And as a brother, believe it or not, it's really easy to be happy. All you got to do is just say, I'm going to be happy.
That's right.
It's just that easy.
That's right. Yes. And also, brother, self-love, but not narcissistically or et cetera, but you have to love yourself so you can love others.
That's correct.
Right.
See, when you say self-love, people automatically start thinking selfishness and stuff. But no, how can I love you if I don't love myself?
That's right.
Once I love myself, then I will see that you are a part of me as well. And I will love you as I love myself. But if I hate myself, I'm going to hate you like I hate myself.
Absolutely.
It's a simple cycle. We just got to start following it and let go of a lot of the stuff in which we've been taught society has made commonplace now. But it's not. It's not the natural. The natural being of everyone is to love. Now, all this other stuff that we do is unnatural. But the natural thing for us to do is love. This is why when you show love and you show kind and careness, you know that there is a special feeling that comes over you when you know that you were able to help somebody that didn't have a way out and you were there for them. It's just something that goes up inside you that makes you feel really good.
Absolutely, brother.
That's right.
Knowing that you made somebody a piece of steak and they loved it to death, that makes you feel good knowing that I was a blessing to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that somebody cared enough to make you a steak. I'm just using that as a reference, but just so that we can see the simple things in life. But we look like I can't really feel good unless I gave somebody $50,000. That would make them feel good, but that's not all to it. And you've got to remember, too much is give, much is expected. And for a lot of us, we can't have that much right now because we're not ready for it. We've got to deal with the basics. We've got to get in tune with the basics. And I'll tell you this, when you get in tune with the basics and you start understanding that it's about the God that's in you, how you live your life and how you treat each other, all other things will be added on.
Yes. And also, according to Zarathustra, said we have a good and bad in each of us. Mm-hmm. If I feed the bad, I will be, you know, bad person. But if I give feed the good in my heart, I will win over the bad. And ultimately, he said, don't worry. All these evils exist in the world, but the good is ultimately will win over the evil.
It has no choice. And we call, and one of the things I don't like to say is the good and the bad, because what we have to understand is a lot of things that we call bad,
amen,
other
brother.
People call it good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like to use the good and bad analogy, only because all things work together for the good, whether we want it, we see it or not. All things are working together for the good. So just
right.
because we tried something and it didn't work out to our liking doesn't make it bad. It just makes it not the choice or the path that we want to take.
Well, Brother Messenger,
right.
also when we say all things work for the good, that's provided that the basic premise of all this conversation starts with God is good, God is great. Now if you don't have that understanding of the Creator, because again, if you believe that the Creator is all good and everything came from the Creator was good, then it helps you understand again, no good, bad, but not so much bad and good, but consequences of actions. That
well,
makes sense.
No, well, yes, but whether you want to accept it or not, it is what it is. And
okay.
so what I mean by it, when I say, even though you're doing something with all intentions for it to be quote-unquote bad, still working for the good. And, mm-hmm. and I'll give you an example of what I'm meaning by that. What I'm meaning by that is you're on your job. And somebody just doesn't like you, and they've got a little bit more authority than you, and then they take that path and they get you fired. Okay? And they get you fired. But then next thing you know, you got an even better job. So all things are working for the good. We just have to be able to see it being there. Instead of something happening to us, we waddling and pity parties and stuff of that nature, we've got to understand that we have the power to change any and all situations in our lives. We have
that
power.
So basically, you're saying that a door closes at you, another door opens at you.
That's right.
And this time,
that's
even
right.
better job offer, as you mentioned.
That's correct.
Right.
But we've got to see it like that instead of seeing it as somebody did me wrong and now it's my job to get even with them. What a man
soweth,
so what a person soweth, so shall they reap. So if all you're doing is sowing good seeds, you've got no choice but to get
good seeds. Yes.
Somebody
Amen.
Might try to throw a thorn in there, but your good seeds is going to outweigh that thorn. And that thorn is going back to whoever it was that tried to give it to you. So we've got to be conscious of this and recognize the power and the authority that we have. And once we understand that and start living in it, then we can begin to see every day as a holy day. We can see every day as a good day in spite of. You know, people look at rain and call it a bad, miserable day. But without rain, we got no plants.
That's
no
right.
plants, we got no H2O.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of how we take what we want and make it bad, but it's really something good that's working for our good.
Absolutely.
No, help clean it and get the germs away.
As you hear the lovely voice in the background, none other than my precious mom, that's our signal that our hour has come to a close. Hey, listen, I thank you for joining the podcast this evening. I hope and trust that something we said will be a benefit in your life as we attempt to bring you closer to God. That's all this ministry is about, getting you closer to God, understanding you don't need an intercessor to talk to yourself. Hey,
amen.
I'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you
night.
Very much.
And the brother from Singapore, I appreciate you joining and being part of the podcast.
Thank you
everybody
very
else?
Much.
And at this time, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight,
good
Cass.
Night.
Goodnight to all.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Ben. Goodnight, everybody.
All right, goodnight.